understanding more of God's sovereign plan around the first Thanksgiving on Principles and Policies. Welcome to this edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. Along with me today is my Vice Chairman, Historical Advisor, Technical Guru, and all-around good friend, Chuck Michaels.
I'm glad to be here today. Let's get out the dynamite and blow up some more myths.
Yes, we like myth-busting, and I figured that we've probably got a fairly receptive audience because yesterday was Thanksgiving, and everybody had a chance to give thanks to God for all the many and signal blessings that he's given. But you know, Chuck, I doubt very seriously that many people think about giving thanks to God for things like being captured and being taken away from their homes and for death and disease and for those type of things that we consider to be negative. But yet, as we'll see from what you're going to tell us today, God even uses those things to fulfill his purposes and to advance his kingdom.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because you brought up the story about Squanto yesterday. And you and I talked off air about the actual history of Squanto and how really complex and interesting it is. Let's face it, everybody's seen the school plays with the pilgrims with their buckled hats and their buckled shoes and the great big belt buckles and the Indians and, you know, grunting and all this stuff. Well, it turns out the Squanto has a very interesting past in that he spoke English very well. And the reason he spoke English very well is that because in about 1605, he had been carried off to England by an English fisherman and lived there for several years, about 8 years, was taught English, knew English very well, and knew English culture very well, having lived in it for that long. You can't live in a culture that long without at least learning something about it. So Squanto turned out to be the perfect person that Captain John Smith needed for an expedition to America to act as a translator. So in about 1613, Captain John Smith takes Squanto to America. He acts as a translator, does a good job, does such a good job that John Smith says, okay, you're a free man. Well, free, but not for long, because he is shortly thereafter captured by the Spanish, who drag him off to Spain to be a slave. And Squanto then works as a house servant in Spain, but manages to escape. Now, how this happened, I don't know. I'd love to read this story and see if there's any details anyplace. I haven't been able to find any. But he escapes to England and eventually is given passage back to America. And when he comes back to America, to his homeland, which is in the Massachusetts Bay area, all he finds is an empty village because his entire tribe, his whole family, his tribe, the people he lived with have been wiped out by a plague. So he's taken in by the Wampanoags who live in the area there of the Bay Colony. And when the pilgrims arrive, here's this guy who knows English culture and the English language. And of course, the pilgrims are sort of dumbfounded by God's providential workings.
Amen.
In this man's life and in their lives, and how he used these things that were not, I mean, let's face it, Squanto, I'm sure, felt deep anguish at the loss of his family, at being forced to be a slave, all these things. And yet God used that for his own good and for his own, the advancement of his kingdom. So that's kind of the understanding of providence that Christians should be trying to cultivate. Bad things happen, but sometimes God uses them for good.
And that's true. And it's oftentimes hard for us to see that in the immediate sense. And I'm sure, you know, that it was tough for Squanto, being taken away from his family, you know, he's being captured, goes to England, he has to be there for a number, not knowing if he's ever going to see anybody again. He comes back, he's then captured again by the Spanish, made a slave. And then when he finally gets back, everybody is dead. Everybody has been wiped out by disease. Well, had that not happened, he would probably not have been taken in by the Wampanoags, and then he would not have been there in a position and to be able to help negotiate the peace treaty between the Wampanoags and the Pilgrim settlers there in spring of 1621. So God does work those things for good. I mean, God put it upon the hearts of those individuals to hold to the truths of God's word purely. The reason why, you know, you call them Puritans, or and the Pilgrims are the ones who wanted to separate. The Puritans wanted to fix the Church of England from the inside out. The Pilgrims decided that it couldn't be fixed, and so we need to separate from it for our own spiritual benefit. And so they were moved to go from England to Holland, and then after about 12 years, they realized that even Holland, which was the only country that would allow religious toleration, was still causing the destruction of their next generation by drawing them away from the faith. And so then they decided to take that perilous journey to America, where, as we mentioned earlier, they got off course and they ended up landing, I forget how far, how many miles is it from where they were originally supposed to be landing in the Virginia colony all the way up to the Massachusetts Bay.
Hundreds
of miles that they were sent off course, during the storms at sea, also driven by the providential hand of God. All of these things working together for good, as we see. And, you know, we talked about Thanksgiving and how they gave thanks. You know, Chuck, one of the other books that I want to suggest to people to try to find a copy of, if you really want to understand this history and you don't want to read, we talked about William Bradford's book of Plymouth Plantation or the Plymouth Settlement, of the book Johnson's Wonder Working Providence, which are also both great books. But there's one other one I want to suggest as well to our listeners. And that's one, and you can find it. You go ahead and go on Google or Amazon or somewhere else. You can probably find a copy of this. Its generic title is called A Journal of the Pilgrims at Plymouth. But it's also more commonly known as Mort's Relation, because the supposed author of this, and it's a journal, a day-to-day journal of the time there, probably was written by more than one person, but it's normally ascribed to George Morton, who was one of the original settlers there, that it was his journal, and a relation is just a letter or thoughts written down in a journal explaining what's going on. That's what they mean by the word relation. And Chuck, if I could be allowed the latitude, what I'd like to do is read his Morton's introduction to the reader on this whole issue. And he says, "Courteous reader, be entreated to make a favorable construction of my forwardness in publishing these ensuing discourses. The desire of carrying the gospel of Christ into those foreign parts, amongst those people that as yet have had no knowledge nor taste of God, as also to procure unto themselves and others a quiet and comfortable habitation, were, amongst other things, the inducement unto these undertakings of the then hopeful and now experimentally known good enterprise for plantation in New England, to set afoot and prosecute the same. And though it fared with them, as it is common to the most actions of this nature, that the first attempts prove difficult, as the sequel more at large expresseth, yet it hath pleased God, even beyond our expectation in so short a time, to give hope of letting some of them see, though some he hath taken out of this veil of tears, some grounds of hope of the accomplishment of both those ends by them at first propounded. And as myself then much desired and shortly hope to effect, if the Lord will, the putting to of my shoulder in this hopeful business, and in the meantime these relations coming to my hand from my both known and faithful friends, on whose writings I do much rely, I thought it not amiss to make them more general, hoping of a cheerful proceeding, both of adventurers and planters, entreating that the examples of the Honorable Virginia and Bermuda's companies, encountering with so many disasters, and that for diverse years together, with an unwearied resolution, the good effects whereof are now imminent, may prevail as a spur of preparation also touching this no less hopeful country, though yet an infant, the extent and commodities whereof are as yet not fully known, after time will unfold more. Such as desire to take knowledge of things and may inform themselves by this ensuing treatise, and if they please, also by such as have been there a first and second time. My hearty prayer to God is that the event of this and all other honorable and honest undertakings may be for the furtherance of the kingdom of Christ, the enlarging of the bounds of our sovereign Lord King James, and the good and profit of those who, either by purse or person or both, are agents in the same. So I take leave and rest. Thy friend, George Morton, or G. Mort, as it said. That's the reason why they call it Mort's Relation. So these were journals of those that he knew. He wrote the introduction, and he probably wrote one of the journal entries, but he was writing. Edward Winslow is one of the authors assumed in these journals. Possibly Robert Cushman, who was also one of the early settlers. But that's a great book, and it just resounds with that whole idea of the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. That was their main reason for being. And that's something we lose today, Chuck.
Oh, absolutely. And think about this. You know, we've been talking about the Pilgrims celebration as the first Thanksgiving, but there are actually several other contenders. One group, as early as 1564, attempted a colony down in southern Florida, and that was a group of Huguenots. And if you don't know the story of the Huguenots, we really don't have time to go into it here, but they were French Protestants who attempted to do sort of the same thing of what that the Pilgrims were doing, and the Puritans, building the shining city on a hill in a place where they could practice their religious freedom. And they declared a feast of Thanksgiving as early as it was in the summer of 1564. Now, what's interesting about that as well is there was another attempt, another festival that was called by the Jamestown Colony in about 1610 or so, a festival of Thanksgiving. So, you know, the idea that this was this is the one that we recognize as the prototype for what we do. But it should be remembered that Christian peoples were constantly thinking in terms of giving thanks to a providential God who had intervened in their favor for the good and the advancement of his kingdom.
Now, we miss all that, Chuck, in modern textbooks, in modern history books, because there's knee-jerk aversion to even thinking that God might have had any role to play in anything that happened in this country. And so therefore we try to airbrush it, make it politically correct, run away from it, or most sadly, just not talk about it at all because it doesn't fit in with our humanistic pattern and worldview.
Well, it's an attempt to appear neutral in what's known as, you know, a battle for culture. Some people don't like that word, battle for culture, but the fact is that there's a constantly ongoing struggle, and this is one of the places where it appears. And what we mean by this neutrality, that's Henry Van Til, who basically said there is no such thing as neutrality. Everyone has a given set of presuppositions, and the presupposition underlying the other side trying to sweep this under the rug is we can't let these people get the true story across, or someone might actually convert to Christianity or treat it respectfully.
Well, I don't think we have any fear right now in our modern culture about Christianity and the roots of our American history being treated with much respect. I mean, there are all kinds of attempts right now to paint everybody from Christopher Columbus to the Pilgrims at Plymouth as raiders and usurpers who just destroyed the natural resources of the country, raped and pillaged the Native Americans. And, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we know human nature is naturally evil, and not every one of these people were believers. And so, yes, oftentimes those situations could have occurred. But the overarching idea that we see is that it was part of God's providence to move these people to America, to bring someone like a Squanto and a Samoset to understand the English tongue, to be there, to make those connections so that the colony could be established, it could grow, and the advancement of the gospel of Christ could take place upon the American continent. And that's what we've given Thanksgiving for this week. So we hope that you have too. I know we're running out of time. I want to say for myself and for Chuck, visit our website at principlepolicy.com to find more resources and information on this and other topics we talk about. And as usual, drop us a line and let us know what you're thinking and if you're listening to the program. We appreciate it. We hope that you guys have a blessed weekend, and join us on Saturday at noon for our Our Principles and Policies program. We're going to be talking about more current events this week.